Scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Before we reading the scripture, I will pray. Let's go to God together, asking His blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and grace you have shown to us through Jesus Christ that we are here today this morning. We come to you to listen to your word. So would you please send your Holy Spirit to shine our hearts with your word, and we can recognize that you are the one who speaks to us, and help us our hearts be ready to receive your teachings. As I'm going to preach, also please bless me and be with me as I'm your servant, your tool. Please, Lord, be with me and with our worship service, with all your people. We pray all these things, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a text that we are going to read from Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Page number is from the Pew Bibles, 75. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel and Libnim. So Moses said, Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did so Moses told him. And fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua. Then I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and call the name of it, the Lord is my banner, saying, a hand upon the throne of the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. What a wonderful passage we just read. We know that our congregation is learning about the Lord's Prayer from Adult Sunday School, and Pastor Perry and other people are preaching on the Lord's Prayer. So it's about prayer. So I was looking for a passage that I'm going to preach today. And I was looking for a story that maybe we can apply to our lives this morning. Then I found an interesting story that I'm going to read it to you. It's basically what I'm going to do, just about maybe 3 minutes. This is a very interesting story about prayer. As a lady was getting on a pie ready to put into oven, the phone rang. It was a school nurse. Her son had come down with a high fever, and would she come and then take him home. Now the mother calculated how long it would take to drive to school and back, and then how long the pie should bake, and then conclude and figure out that there was enough time. So popping the pie in the oven, and she left for school. When she arrived, her son's fever was worse, and the nurse urged her to take him to the doctor. So she went there. The doctor gave her the prescription for her son, and then asked her to get him to bed right away. Don't wait, just go home. By the time she got the boy home and in a bed, and then headed out again for the shopping mall to get the medicine. And then she had completely forgotten about the pie in the oven. Now at the mall, she found a pharmacy and got the prescription filled in and rushed back to the car, which was locked. Yes, there were keys hanging in the ignition switch locked inside the car. She panicked. Yeah. And she ran back into the mall to get a wire hanger to open the car. That's what you usually do. Well, that wasn't easy to find a wire hanger nowadays. We know that. Wooden hangers and plastic hangers were in abundance, but shops didn't use wire hangers anymore. After searching through a dozen of stores, she found one. Yet the problem was this. She never used a coat hanger to open a car before. The worst thing, she just remembered the pie in the oven. Then she began cry and she prayed. This is her prayer. Dear Lord, my boy is sick and he needs this medicine and my pie is in the oven and the keys are locked in the car. And Lord, I don't know what to do with this coat hanger. Dear Lord, send somebody who does know what to do with and I really need that person right now, Lord. And she prayed and said, Amen. She was wiping her eyes when a beat up old car pulled up to the curb and stopped in front of her. She saw it. And a young man, 20-ish looking, got out and he was coming her way. Now when he drew near, she stepped in front of him and then held out a wire coat hanger and said, Hey, young man, she said, do you know how to get into a locked car with one of these? Now he looked at her for a moment and plucked the hanger from her hand. Where's the car? A quick look at the door and window, a couple of twists and skills and with the coat hanger, and bam! Car was open. Just like that, the door was open. When she saw the door opened and then she threw her arms around him, say, Oh, she said, the Lord sent you. You are such a good boy. You must be a Christian. And he stepped back and said, No, ma'am. I'm not a good boy. I just got out of the prison yesterday. And then she jumped at him and said, she hugged him again and said, Oh, thank God, bless God, she cried. He sent me a professional. Let's think about the following question based on the story. Did God really listen to her prayer? Did God really send a professional thief to help her? Or was it a coincidence? Now sometimes we find ourselves in similar situation that, like the ladies in the story, we as individuals have our own challenges and problems almost every day. Like the mother in the story, and sometimes we feel we are completely trapped. Nowhere hope can be found, no sense of life, no promising future at all. And many times we don't know what to do when we face unexpected life challenges like this. Then we often ask the following question, what shall I do, Lord? What shall I do? We wonder how does God teach us and his people every time when we face all kinds of trouble, like the lady in the story. And I believe that our text is an answer for our question. If we read the book of Exodus, we will see that the life of the Israelites was similar to ours. They had many headaches every day, and unsolvable problems in front of them almost every moment when they stepped forward every day. And an interesting, very interesting thing is this. Mostly when they faced all the troubles, mostly God was the one who dealt with their problems. God was the one who provided water, food, and everything that the Israelites needed at times. God was the one who always led them and guided them and protected them. All the people. God was the one who divided the Red Sea in front of them. But the problem is that we know that the Israelites were the people who always complained. Then we see a complete different story from our text today. God did not just help the Israelites when they faced a big trouble. Rather, God taught them the importance of the power of prayer while they panicked. Here are something that we can imagine about the situation the Israelites faced based on our text. Now, Exodus chapter 17 begins with a fascinating story about water coming from the rock. Now, as usual, the Israelites complained about the water in the desert. There's no water. Then, miraculously, God provided water from the rock. I cannot imagine being without water in the desert. But yet, I easily get a picture of the people who got plenty of water out of the rock. They must have been really happy, and they must have felt satisfied, happy. Whenever I read this particular passage, I imagine children playing in a pond. However, their happiness didn't last long. And out of the blue, an unexpected affliction came to the camp of the Israelites, the Amalekites, known as nomads in the desert, attacked the Israelites. Now, without a doubt, all the Israelites panic. Wow, what is coming? Look at this. Compared to the Israelites, the Amalekites were skillfully trained soldiers. Can you imagine? They needed to frequently fight every day against other tribes around them over the years and years to protect their properties and the land. That is their job. Now the Amalekites found almost 2 million people in their land. What are you going to do? They had no choice. They had to completely destroy the Israelites right away. So they came with their full force. Let's go and destroy them. But think about it. How about the Israelites? Unfortunately, they had never been in a war before. For almost 400 years, they had been slaves of the Israelites, the Egyptians. For the Israelites, they were not prepared for a war at all. There were no trained soldiers. There were no army like leaders or generals. They didn't have any weapons at all. And then our Bible records this is the very first war that the Israelites faced as a nation. Now, can you imagine a war like this? No, I can't. Their first war with no trained soldiers, no weapons in their hands, no army leaders around them. And no strategy to fight. Run away this way, run away that way, attack from top, bottom, and throw a rock and pour oil. There's no strategy like that. without water and food, they could complain, "Dear God, there's no water, there's no food." But this is a different story. It is a life and death situation. Surely, they didn't know what to do. It seems that it was not fair for them. Not fair. Have you ever been in that situation? Out of the blue, your life had been dramatically changed. You lost your loved one that you were depending on. You found a cancer cell growing in your body. Without any reason or without any explanation, your life becomes really horrible. Many difficult situations come. You get depressed every day. Maybe we feel that there is no sense of peace every day. No hope in our life, in our hearts. Life is not any more easy for us. Even worse, our relationship with God has been slowly fading away. We feel that God is out of contact. We try to pray, we try to say something, nothing happens. We feel that we are stuck right here somewhere. We're just trapped. We can't go anywhere. Feel completely hopeless. We're just exhausted, tired. And the worst part, we don't know what to do. We just don't know what to do. We just don't know what to say. Probably, people think that my life is worthless, and taking their life away. Sounds familiar? Just depressing situation. Why all the Israelites panicked? And Moses made a historical decision at that moment. He called Joshua and asked him, "Hey, assemble all the people. Not all, but assemble an emergency army." And Moses said in verse 19 today, I read from the NIV, "Choose some of men. Choose some of men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill and with the staff of God in my hands." Hold one second. What are you talking about? The first half of the verse 9 brought us a lot of questions. The rest of the verse 9 grips our eyes. See, "I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Okay. While the nation was in crisis, then while all the people panicked, they don't know what to do, while Joshua and his untrained army were fighting against their enemies, Moses decided to go up to the hill, do nothing but to pray. Huh. Can you believe that? How many of us can pray when our enemy attack us? How many of South Korean people will go to the mountain and pray when the North attacks us? How many of us can go to the Mount Spokane when we heard that enemies are coming to our land to destroy us? It's not realistic. Go to the mountain and pray. It's not realistic. Probably some people would do that. But however, usually prayer would not be the first choice, would not be their first choice when enemies are attacking to them or to our country. We need to protect ourselves. We have to think about our situation first. When something happens, then maybe we can pray later. We'll think about, "Oh, we forgot to pray. We will pray later," right? But however, we see that Moses' choice was different. He chose to pray first. And notice that Moses did not pick everyone, many soldiers, to fight against the Amalekites. He ordered Joshua to pick some of men, some men to fight. I thought about that. If I were in Moses' situation, I would order every possible man and woman, please come to fight, bring something. Bring something into your home, like sticks or whatever you have, just come to fight. But Moses' plan was different. He had a different plan. Rather than depending on humans' power and wisdom, rather than having more soldiers, Moses wanted to have God's intervention. In the middle of a battle, he climbed up the hill, not because he wanted to escape, but because he wanted to come closer to God. He chose to pray. Then how about us? How about our prayer life this year, year 2014? What is our choice, our first choice when we face many kind of troubles like this, the Israelites and Moses like this in our prayer life? What is our choice even when it looks like there is no time to pray? Did we really pray? I'm asking to myself too. Did we really trust God in our prayer? Let's think about differently. What was your and my first choice when we see many challenges are coming, and sufferings and temptations? We can't judge anybody. But it is true that prayer was not our always first choice. We do pray. Many times, many a day. But we see that many times we found ourselves acting first, do something first, thinking first. Let's think about this situation. Every time someone comes here and pray that our financial situation, yeah, we think about things first, then pray later. Figure out that we are the ones who want to do, who initiate everything first and then asking God and expecting, God, follow my lead. We need your support. That was not Moses' order. That's not the right order. Moses clearly showed us that our priority is not ourselves and our plan and something else, but it must be God. In the middle of an unexpected national crisis, Moses raised his hands to the Lord. Believe it or not, prayer was his priority. Prayer was his first choice. He wanted to speak to God. We know that it's not an easy task. And then our text, verse 11 says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. We should not misunderstand that Moses had a mystical power, kind of supernatural power to win the war when he raised his hands. He lost his power when he put down his hands. No, it's not that. It was not about his power, but it is all about his prayer. His prayer. It was a hard job. When he became tired and weary, and when he put his hands down, and people saw that the Amalekites winning, they were winning, coming toward them. Let's think about this question. What does God want to teach us from this particular story? As I already mentioned, that this is not about Moses' supernatural power, but it is all about pray and prayer.
I believe that God wanted to teach the Israelites the importance of prayer. You have to pray. God always had taken care of the Israelites all the time. At this time, He wanted to teach them, okay, time to talk. Let's talk. That is prayer. God wants to talk. God wants to listen. I believe that God has been taking care of your life and my life all these years. We always confess that every day or sometimes a Thanksgiving day, we are thankful because of your love, your mercy. His love endures forever. Then what? Are we really taking our part? Do we really realize that God wants to talk to us? Do we really put our prayer time first more than anything else? I guess we have so many excuses for not to pray. During my research and study on prayer, I read a book titled, Too Busy Not to Pray, written by Bill Hybels. His point is this, we are so busy so that we don't have time to pray. I agree. We think this is a nonsense, but it's true. God has blessed us with so many things. We have received almost everything. Yeah, everything from God. What we have. However, because of what we have, such as our jobs and our hobbies and everything, the list of things that we have, we don't have time to pray. I don't think that Moses, he had a time to pray. No, I don't think so. What he needed to recruit more soldiers. Hey, come on. I think you're tall enough to fight. Come on. We need more soldiers. He needed to encourage people to fight. Okay, it's okay, women. You can fight. Please come. He needed to organize an evacuation plan. If things are not working, we have to go this way, go that way. Let's meet there sometimes, maybe 2 days later. Let's reassemble and let's go back to them. He needed to lead his people. Moses needed to do something. But he chose to pray. He chose to completely depend on God. He chose to have a conversation with God in the middle of chaos. Can we do that? I know that I cannot be like Moses. I cannot follow the steps that he walked. My faith is not as big as Moses. But yet, there is one thing that we can learn from Moses. We can pray. At least we can talk to God every day. Probably we cannot change our lives. Probably we cannot save people's lives. Probably we are so busy every day. However, there is one unchanging truth. God still wants to talk to us. And we have to pray. Then our text tells more about prayer. Through Aaron and Hur's, their reaction, while Moses become tired and weary, and Aaron and Hur realized that the Amalekites were winning. They saw in front of them, so they brought a stone to help Moses sit on it. And both Aaron and Hur held Moses' hands up until the war was over. This is what the text says, verse 13. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Verse 13. And so Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with a sword.
we clearly see not only did Moses pray, but also Aaron and Hur witnessed the power of prayer, and they prayed with Moses. Praying together. I believe that that's really awesome. Year 2014. What is your prayer plan? I don't want to undermine your prayer life and prayer habit and plan. I know that you all have your prayer habits and plan and prayer life. I know that many of you sincerely pray for our church and its ministries. However, one thing we have to remember from our text is we have to pray together. We must pray together like Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Listen to what the Lord has says. God said to Moses, verse 14, he says, write this on a scroll as a something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it. Because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. We must remember what God said to Moses. We should remember how God answered Moses' prayer. We need to pray for our future directions. I am 100%, 200%, 1,000% sure about that. Our future, future of the New Hope. We need to pray for our church ministries every day. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters. We need to pray together as a church, as Moses and Aaron and Hur did. How many of us want to come to our Wednesday prayer meeting? We know that every car company has its logo, such as GM or Honda or Ford. When we look at the logos, not only did we see the logos, their signs, but also we see the company itself. Yeah, that's Honda, or that's Ford. The logo carries its company's brand and honor. When you look at our denomination's logo, which is the Christian Reformed Church, back there, our logo, we remember the Christian Reformed Church. Now, this is the final confession remains in our hearts today. Moses said, the Lord is my banner. Verse 15. For the Israelites, the word banner has a special meaning, like a logo. You know, the banner carries the symbol of God's presence in their lives. It means God is with you. It means, you know, God is in complete control. Not banner's meaning. When they look at the banner, they remember that, oh, God is with me. God's power is with me. God's presence is with me right now. Now, the thing is, through prayer, Moses had found the truth. The Lord is my banner. Through his prayer, Moses and the Israelites had witnessed God's almighty power. Through Moses' prayer, Moses and other people, they had experienced God's presence in the middle of chaos and crisis. That's why Moses proudly say, the Lord is my banner. But the question is, would you want to say like Moses? Yes, the Lord is my banner. Would you want to experience the same thing, God's presence in your life? My answer is yes. How about yours? Then we need to pray. Without prayer, we cannot experience all these kind of things. prayer is not an easy task. Maybe we don't pray because we don't know what to say and how to start and how to pray, what to pray. Maybe we don't have any power and energy to pray. Then listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. We are not alone. If we don't know how to pray, if we don't know what to pray, what to say, the thing is, the Holy Spirit will be there with us in our prayer. He will be our mediator. He will intercede between us and God. Surely the Lord is our banner. And remember that Moses and the Israelites learned that truth through Moses' prayer. People of New Hope, we have to learn that. Now is time to pray. Now is time to declare that the Lord is my banner through our prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for taking care of us every day, every month, and every year. But through our story, we learned that you want to talk to us. You want to listen to our stories. Through our story today, we learned that in the middle of crisis, there's nothing we can do but to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that Moses' confession must be ours. We're not going to find this truth by our study or reflection, but only through prayer. Heavenly Father, would you please bless us so that we can pray together like Moses and Aaron and Hur. Bless our brothers and sisters. Bless our church. So that we can pray hard together. Surely, the Lord is our banner. We pray, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.